Blog Talk Radio.
Friday's here on Real Talk with Lee. We have a special guest in the building today. We're going to have Miss Suzanne Wayne. I hope I got that right. Suzanne, are you there?
I am. It's actually pronounced Huang. Hi, Lee.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I couldn't. It's been nice. Well, how you doing, Suzanne? How's it going?
I'm doing good. Did you get to see the movie?
I'll be honest. I haven't had a chance to see it. But I will watch it now that you decided to come on the show. I will go see it. I'll go see
Yay.
It this weekend.
Yay! It's so funny.
I bet it is. Now, Suzanne, for the listeners who may not know who Suzanne Wong is, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I was the host of House Hunters on HGTV. It was the number one show for almost 10 years. That's how most people know me, from House Hunters and House Hunters International.
I knew you looked familiar. I love that show.
Oh, thank you. And then I played this crazy character named Polly on the show Las Vegas on NBC with James Caan and Josh Duhamel and James LeSueur and Vanessa Marcel. So I got to be a funny character on that show on NBC for 4 seasons. And I'm a stand-up comedian. I've won a couple of comedy festivals. And I'm a writer and a teacher and a, you know, I'm a lot of things, Lee.
Oh, wow. Now, what got you started in, you know, doing comedy? Like, how did you get your start?
Well, I've been acting for 28 years, but about 16 years ago, I was in acting class at the Beverly Hills Playhouse here in Los Angeles, where they encourage you to dare to do something bold, to risk being a failure and try things you've never tried before and write your own material. So I thought I would try stand-up comedy for the first time ever. And I got up and told stories about stupid things people say to Asian women, because I know I look like this, but I was born in Virginia. So I would travel the country. I used to be a roving road warrior reporter for FX and Fox, doing different live human interest segments for different shows. And people would come up to me and say things like, "Hey, Mugu Gai Pan," or, "Hey, teach me karate," or, "Oh, your English is so good." Or they'd say, "Oh, Suzanne, how does that dry cleaning process actually work?" Or, you know, just on and on and on. Or, "Hey, what does dog taste like when you eat it?" I mean, so I just basically told a bunch of stories about stupid things people would say to me when they would first meet me. And the teacher said, "Oh, I like this. This is funny. But I think you should also try embracing the stereotype of Asian women that you hate so much." And I said, "What are you talking about? Why would I do that? I'm trying to prove to everyone that I'm nothing like it." And he said, "Well, that's the problem. Whatever you resist persists. So you're still at the effect of it, but you're just on the flip side of it. What if you embraced it as part of who you are, not certainly all of who you are, because you are Korean, just to see what happens?" And I was so furious, I wanted to quit. As I thought, he became a terrible teacher, and I wanted, you know, I was plotting his death. But then I realized it's crazy to take a class and not even try what the teacher is recommending. So I decided the next day that I was going to try to embrace the stereotype, whatever that means. And because I didn't really want to do it, my heart wasn't in it, I took a lesson from some British actors who, you know, British actors sometimes work from the outside in. If they get the right hat or the right shoes, it informs their character. If they get the right outfit or the wardrobe, and they let that inform their character. So I went to Koreatown and I bought a full-length Korean dress called a hanbok, a lot of which you will see in the new movie, A Weekend with the Family, which I'm starring in. I got the dress and I got the special shoes and a fan, and I just put the outfit on in my house. And I had no idea. I was just furious. I had no idea what I was going to do with this assignment until finally I came up with the idea of, what if she were a stand-up comic? What if she were fresh off the boat from Korea? What if she's terrible at it? What if she tells racist jokes but she doesn't even know they're racist? What if she tells really overtly dark, offensive jokes but she doesn't even know what she's doing? And I got really excited to create a satire on racism and prejudice and stereotypes in America. And that character's name is Sung-hee Park, and I won the Las Vegas Comedy Festival and the New York Comedy Festival Andy Kaufman Award from doing this character. And it really has just been such a glorious experience, because I'm making fun of the very thing that has bothered me my whole life by creating a character who's just sweet and naive and innocent, and she doesn't even realize that she's being offensive.
Now, where did you get the courage to get on that stage? Because, like, you know, I want the people all the time who, you know, generally think they're funny. And I'm like, well, get on that stage. Like, how did you work up the nerve to actually get on stage?
Well, I had a background in acting for many years before I started doing stand-up, so I was used to being on stage, and I think that I'm just a natural ham at heart, and I was born with big balls, Lee. I don't know what to tell you. I people have always said, "I can't believe how much courage you have," and I guess to me, courage isn't the absence of fear. I've heard this quote before. It's having fear but walking through it anyway. You know, I still get nervous. I can get jittery, but I just do it anyway, and it infuses me with a feeling of courage. Instead of waiting for that feeling of courage before I take an action, I just take the action, and then I'm filled with that feeling.
Now, tell us about the house hunters. Like, you know, stand up comedian, I'm just thinking, like, how'd you end up doing house hunting? Because, you know, I've seen the show. I look at it all the time. They're basically showing off all of this. You know, and a lot of times I would throw maybe like a real estate agent. I mean, are you a real estate agent too?
No, That started because I was living in New York City and my television commercial agent got me an audition for a TV hosting job. So my first hosting job was on FX called Breakfast Time. It was a morning show with Tom Bergeron. And then I did a show called The Pet Department about animals. I hosted that show. I did a show called Personal FX about people who collect things. Then I did a show called Fox After Breakfast, which was on Fox, which is another morning show where I traveled the country doing live human interest segments. Then I flew to Los Angeles because I got a job hosting a show on Lifetime called New Attitudes. And then after that, I got the job hosting House Hunters. So I had done a lot of TV hosting before getting House Hunters. It just seems to come naturally to me. I'm a very curious person. I love to talk to people. I love to ask questions. I feel like every person is a gold mine, and everybody has multiple stories from their lives that the world would benefit from hearing. You know, Maya Angelou once said, "There is no greater agony than burying an untold story inside of you." So one of my passions is to encourage people to write and tell their stories and act and express themselves or sing or dance or do whatever you need to do to express your emotions and express your creativity.
Now I wonder, like, what advice do you give to, like, people, you know, looking to get into, like, entertainment or comedy or acting or music? Because, you know, I got a buddy of mine, you know, he's 45, he still lives at home, and he's trying to start a rap career. So I don't really have any, you know, good advice to give him. Like, maybe you could, you know, share some type, you know, some good advice for him, maybe what he could do.
Well, I would say it would make a lot of sense to study your craft and practice and rehearse as much as possible, whatever it is that interests you. I actually teach an artist workshop called The Playing Field here in Los Angeles every week for artists of any type, actors, comedians, writers, singers, dancers, rappers, poets, magicians, anything you want to try and do and express, keynote speakers. I even have people who get up and give speeches, or you could be an attorney, or you could be a realtor or an executive who gives PowerPoint presentations, anyone who performs or communicates in front of a group of people and they want to do it at a higher level. But I would say throw yourself into the craft of whatever it is. Study, practice, rehearse, get really good so that when you have the opportunities come to you, you will have the skill and the technique to back it up.
Oh, definitely. See, that's definitely good advice. So maybe that gentleman's not taking it seriously. I hope he's listening because, you know, I think people have to take it seriously. And from what you just described, that sounds like somebody who will be taking it seriously. No,
right, and also in the world of entertainment, it's really important to keep your self-esteem high no matter what's going on around you. If you go to auditions to be told that you're wonderful and your self-esteem is going to roller coaster based on any given audition, then this is not the business for you. You really have to make sure that you tell yourself and you give yourself praise and acknowledgement, and that you're grateful for what you're doing and where you are, so that when you walk into an audition room, you are going to do something that you love and not going to make them tell you that you're wonderful. Tell yourself that you're wonderful.
I like that advice. I was going to ask, you don't feel like self-conscious, because I talked to a lot of people, you know, I probably did a few thousand different interviews, and people always, you know, they're kind of like self-conscious. You ever felt that, like, oh my gosh, what am I going to look, you know, like when you're in movies or on TV, what am I going to look like? I bet I don't look like this. I bet I don't come off like that. Do you ever, you ever had that experience?
Maybe when I first started, I was insecure because I didn't know what I was doing, and I would watch myself in something that I acted in 28 years ago, and I would think, "Oh, wow, you're terrible. You better start taking some acting classes because you don't know what you're doing." I was really overacting and making crazy, you know, body gestures to sort of show what was going on, and it was terrible. But now that I have more confidence in my abilities and I really trust that I know what I'm doing, I don't really do that to myself as much. And, you know, I'm a big believer in creating your own destiny. I'm a stage 4 breast cancer survivor and thriver. In 2011, I was given 6 months to live. And I reversed that disease with a combination of Western, Eastern, alternative, holistic medicine, but I changed my lifestyle and I learned some life lessons. I had to really learn to slow down and stay still and ask for help and love and receive it. Every woman I know who has or had breast cancer has spent her whole life taking care of everybody else and nurturing everybody else and putting herself last on the list. And this journey has been about learning about self-nurturing, making sure that I was sleeping enough and eating healthy and exercising and meditating and laughing and having balance in my own life. And in Asian culture, I don't know how you feel about the way you were raised, but in my family, you don't talk about when things aren't going well. You don't share your problems. It's considered low class. And so I kept it a secret the first 5 years I had cancer. And we really are only as sick as our secrets. We are not meant to go through things alone. And as soon as I came out of the cancer closet, I did an NBC News interview and a press release. I received so much of unconditional love and support, a tsunami of love from family members, friends, and fans who I had never met all over the world. And really, Lee, I was loved back to life.
Okay, so I was just about to ask you, you think that helped? You know, that helped, you know, sharing
I know
it with
that it did.
To, like,
I know that it helped for me to throw my pride and ego out the window, get humble and vulnerable, admit what was really going on, reveal my secret that I had been struggling with cancer, and the love and support and the visualizations and the prayers and the resources, and I went $500,000 into debt, and people started sending contributions to help me pay my bills because a lot of the cancer treatments that I did were not covered by insurance. I mean, it was such a remarkable experience, and I am now happier and healthier than I ever was before I got cancer.
Yeah, and people, I don't think people, you know, realize how serious that is. My aunt Lynette passed away maybe like 8 months ago from, you know, from breast cancer.
It's
a very serious thing.
It is a very serious thing, and I still believe that you can find the levity and humor in anything and that you can transform your situation depending on your attitude and perspective about it. So actually, I started to do stand-up comedy about my journey. I'm writing a book about my journey. I tell people that I had breast cancer 3 times in 10 years because, like most Asians, I'm an overachiever. I'm not going to do that just once, Lee. I'm going to do that 3 times. Not just stage 1, stage 4. What? Woohoo! And also, when the doctor called me to tell me I had breast cancer, I said, wow, this is going to be great material for my stand-up comedy act. And she said, what? And I said, tragedy plus time equals comedy, so this is going to kill. And I said, are you sure? My boobs are so small. Are you sure? How could I possibly have breast cancer? Anyway, I started cracking jokes about it, and it really helped me get through it.
I wanted to ask, were you scared of how people were going to perceive you from telling them, or were you scared that they were going to treat you different?
Absolutely. I was scared about all those things. But the guy I was dating at the time, he really encouraged me. He said, listen, people need you. People need your help now. People are going through this now. Don't wait until you're done curing yourself. You need to talk about it now because you're dealing it with honesty and courage and with humor, and people really need to talk about this. I was basically in the cancer closet. What am I ashamed of? I felt ashamed and embarrassed and like a failure for having breast cancer. I mean, that's ridiculous, but that's how I felt. And as soon as I decided to stop thinking of it that way and just share with people what was going on with me, everybody who's been going through it started to reach out to me and say, oh, I'm struggling too. I need help. What did you do? And we started talking about it and sharing resources and sharing support. And I'm so, so glad I decided to talk about it. Now, every once in a while, somebody says something horrible, but for the most part, I got support. I do remember somebody posting on Facebook, you wouldn't have cancer if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm thinking, you don't even know what my religious beliefs are, and how dare you act like, do you know what I mean? That no Christian has ever gotten breast cancer? I mean, I just thought that was so awful. But, you know, for the most part, people just were incredibly supportive and generous and kind, and I got to have an experience of staying still and receiving when I had been sort of giving, do you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
my whole life and caretaking my whole life, I got to be on the receiving end. And I have to tell you, it was quite a moving experience. I mean, my friends came over to my house, and they would scrub my floors and walk my dog and do errands and bring food over and sing me songs and do interpretive dance and read books to me and bring over funny movies and just anything to cheer me up. And it was so hard for me to receive at first. And my friend said, finally, you've been gypping us out of half a friendship. And I said, what do you mean? I didn't want to burden you. And they said, what are you talking about? When we're not doing well, we tell you, and you rush in and love us back to life. When you're not doing well, you keep it a secret, and we have no idea, and we don't get the joy of rushing in and loving you. And you've been gypping us, and we're so grateful and ecstatic to reciprocate. And I had never thought of it that way, Lee.
Oh, man.
I wanted to ask real quick, Lee. Do you think people don't realize that physically and mentally can help you carry yourself, you know, all at the same time? Because people probably think, oh, well, if it's not a physical thing, it won't cure myself. But they don't realize mental can play a big part of healing yourself as well.
Absolutely. Oh, my God, I'm so glad you said that. It absolutely plays a huge part. I'm telling you that my attitude from the very beginning was that I'm going to die someday, but not from this. And that's what I manifested for myself. And I think it should be illegal for a doctor to tell you that you have a certain amount of time to live, because some people, unfortunately, consider their one Western medicine doctor to be the word of God, and they absolutely believe what that doctor says. So if that doctor says you have 2 weeks to live, in 2 weeks that person drops dead. Well, I don't buy into that. I rolled up my sleeves and I told my oncologists, I plan to outlive you. So bye-bye, I'm going to find a different doctor.
Because really, truly,
do you know what a placebo is? You know, when they give you a pill, it's really nothing in it, but they tell you that it's going to cure your illness and you completely believe it, then that pill that doesn't have anything in it actually heals your body because you believe it 100%. That's called the placebo effect. There's actual scientific proof that your thoughts and your attitude shape your physicality. Also, think of how many things stress causes. Stress causes high blood pressure, heart attacks, ulcers, acne, bowel problems. That's all from stress. So, of course, the opposite of stress, right? Joy, optimism, meditation, that can be so healing.
Most definitely. Now, I see, man, 28 years, that's a long time. You do not look, you know, you look pretty young. Like, that's a long time.
Thank you, Lee.
You know,
I always say black don't crack and yellow don't mellow.
That's an amazing career. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people are lucky to even just, you know, for one, just get in and, you know, be accepted, but then to get in and stay in as long as you had. Like, you know, maybe you could share with the listeners, like, what's your secret for maintaining and looking so young? And then I guess the secret for, you know, being able to still maintain a level of success with, you know, the way things are now. You know, you can do something this week, and next week people are like, well, what'd you do? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. I think that the reason that I look so young is because I have kept a childlike wonder in my heart. I love to play and laugh. I express my emotions. I don't hold them in. I'm a creative person, so I love to be creating and always be in creative mode. You know, with everything that's going on in the world, I believe that the opposite of war is not peace, because the opposite of destruction is not stasis. The opposite of destruction is creation. So the opposite of war is art. And the reason that I look young and stay young and that is because I have a great attitude. I'm an optimistic person. I have faith. I visualize what I want, I express myself, and I'm an artist, and I encourage other people to develop and nurture the artist within themselves. And the way that I've maintained my success in the industry is by maintaining a great attitude. I'm a big believer in the law of attraction, that you manifest the things that you think about the most, and what your core beliefs are what happened in your life. My parents raised me kissing and hugging me every day, telling me they love me, that I'm wonderful, and that I can accomplish anything that I want to in the world. And I believed them. So my life is a manifestation of the legacy belief that they instilled in me, that anything is possible, that miracles happen every day. In fact, because of that, I manifested the miracle of reversing a death sentence. I reversed stage 4 breast cancer. The cancer had spread to my skull, my sternum, my left breast, my right breast, my back, my lymph nodes, my hip. I mean, you know, everyone else would have said, oh, well, you better get your affairs in order because you're gone. And that was 5 years ago, and I'm not checking out for a long time. I got too much more to do.
Hello?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Like this awesome new movie. Tell us how that came about. How'd you end up in this movie with this all-star cast?
Oh, my goodness. I started doing stand-up comedy about 16 years ago with Chandrella Avery of Napoleon Dynamite fame. And she and I loved each other. We've kept in touch over the years. And she's one of the producers of this film, A Weekend with the Family. It stars Marcus Houston and Karrueche Tran. And Chandrella read the script, and she thought, I can't think of anybody better to play this role than Suzanne Hwang. So I get to play Sue Clancy, who's the mother of Karrueche Tran, who's dating Marcus Houston. And there's all this crazy hilarious that ensues when the Korean culture clashes with the black culture, and it is so funny and so wrong and so dumb, you're going to laugh your ass off, and there's heart to it too. I hope that we tug on your heartstrings, and I think that it can be really healing, to be honest, between the Korean community and the black community, especially given what happened after the riots here in LA. I really am so happy that there's a romantic comedy that brings Korean and black culture together.
Oh man, well, so is it really like an underlying thing with the Korean and black culture, or is it really something like taboo or
so
what?
Much. There's been so much animosity and lack of understanding, and you know, a lot of animosity comes from fear of the unknown and not understanding and just ignorance, just plain ignorance about, you know, something that's different, fear of something that's different. And I think that it's so petty because I really do believe, like the Buddhists, that we are all one. We are all one human family, and we need to start listening to each other more and flowing love and compassion to each other more. And I really do believe that this film has such a beautiful heart and spirit underneath it. So I really am looking forward to people watching this film. Oh, my goodness. Dorian Wilson plays my husband. Wendy Raquel Robinson plays the mother of Marcus Houston's character, and Clifton Powell. I mean, we were laughing so hard on the set. I can't even tell. It's amazing that we would get through a take.
Now, I'm going to say you've already dispelled this rumor unconsciously, because you said you and Chandrella, who's an African-American, actor, staff comedian, have been good friends for 16 years. So, you know, that alone says that, a lot of that stuff, you know, probably isn't true. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Or that women don't support each other. I mean, Chandrella and I are the proof of the opposite of that, that you can be a good person and a solid person and a loving person and believe in abundance and not buy into fear of scarcity and help other women in the business. And, you know, I don't believe in statistics. Those are just numbers about what other people have created in the past. If I bought into statistics, I'm female, minority, 53 years old, and I have 1.5 boobs.
No
I shouldn't way. Be working at all, but I'm working all the time. So I just don't buy into any negative talk or scarcity consciousness or any of that. And when people complain about a lack of diversity, I encourage anybody who wants to complain about lack of diversity because their stories aren't being told to write, create, produce, act, direct, become cinematographers, become studio executives. Don't expect a bunch of white people in Hollywood to tell the stories that you want to hear. Create them yourself. Empower yourselves. Don't whine and be a victim and complain. Create your own content and change the world.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree, because a lot of people are complaining, but you have so many platforms that you can use these days. It's just, to me, there is no excuse. Like, you can sit around with 101 excuses, or you can do something about it.
Exactly. I'm so sorry, Lee. I have to split. I have another interview I have to do, but it's been so wonderful speaking to you.
Oh, now, we had a blast. Give out your social media. Tell people how they can connect with you before you go.
Absolutely.
And
I'm on Facebook.
You want to give.
Yes. Awesome. Facebook, I'm Suzanne Hwang, SuzanneWhang. That's also my handle on Twitter and on Instagram. I have a website, SuzanneHwang.com. Totally go see the movie and tell me what you think. I can't wait to talk to you guys about it.
I definitely will. I'm definitely going to go see it. I will see that thing in the next week. You have my word. And then I will definitely try to get in contact. I'll contact Charmaine and let her know how I think she can get in contact with you. So thank you very much, Suzanne. We really appreciated it, man.
Thanks,
Lee. We're going to have you back. I'm going to have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was Suzanne Wayne from the hit movie. It just hit theaters today, actually. It's in theaters today.
Yeah, it sounds like a good movie last night.
Yep. Oh, yeah, man. It's going to be big, man. That's the thing I was promoting, man. It's going to be really big, man. Y'all go get your tickets, man. Go check it out. Please support. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. She probably brings a lot of life to that movie. You know,
for sure,
like
man. Judge, you probably got a page. You want your listeners, your information, you know, how they can connect with you, or are you still hiding? Are you there, Jack?
Yeah, I'm here.
I think you want to tell the listeners, you know, you got a Facebook and Twitter they can go to, maybe connect with me?
Yeah, you can connect with me on Jaguar. Like the animal jaguar .Severin, S-E-V-E-R-I-N. You got any questions, comments, go ahead and leave them there. And, yeah, or just Real Talk with Lee. And, you know, you can reach me all the time.
Okay. Amina, are you there? You want to say something to the people? Maybe about your social media. She's going to be our new personality. So she's in the background, like, you know, training, learning the game. But, tell the people how they can find you too, because they want to see you. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. My IG is Miss No Flaws Model is Life. So it's MissNoFlaws, and then Model is Life. So just ModelLife. So that's where you guys can find me.
Remember y'all heard it here first, man. As usual, man, we doing big things, man. So y'all keep an eye out. We still out here on this grind. Y'all still gonna see it at all the major events. You know how we do it. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
I always like to leave y'all with words of encouragement. The family that plays together stays together. And remember, don't smoke it all in one place. We gotta get out the building. I holler back.
Goddamn, you're cold as ice. Type of lady that can own the night. Angel in the dress, blessing in disguise. When hearts connect, you can see it in the eyes. No metaphor for your aura, baby, you got it. In your love bank, let me make a deposit. Give you my time before I give you my wallet. Give you the world just cause you deserve it. Never have I seen a picture so perfect. Go girl, work it, work out just to look good. Timeless smile plus cook good. Keep it till the reaper comes. You riding for the castle. Really don't mind hoes who hassle. But when war come, ready for battle, I see ya. Mama Mia, humble diva. Don't do songs but known for her features. Got so much class, your ass should've been a teacher. Make a nigga really wanna bring a preacher to meet you, girl.
Goddamn, you're cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. Don't lose control. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know. Goddamn, you're cold as ice. Don't lose control.
When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me. When the rain it pours, baby girl, when the rain it pours. So how about we go to a place where it don't rain no more? Yeah, you and me. Let me take you to eternal bliss. She said she wanted more than less. She wanted happiness, security. Embrace the insecurity. Sick of lanes. So she said the cure was me. I feel it. It's cool, girl. You rocking with the finest. To make them like this, you have to redefine science. Never go against our reliance. Let's take a trip to an island. Order pina coladas. Laugh about the come up when the sun go down. We fuck until the sun up. It's nothing, just me and you. Told me her sex was a weapon. Turned around, hit me with a 22. Like...
Goddamn, you're cold as ice. I thought I'd let you know.
I thought I'd let you know.